Praise the Lord. It's great again to be here.
I do this when we have special speakers. We're going to dismiss the children at this time for children's church. Sorry, I didn't tell you that.
All right. Oh, no problem. It's great to see the kids. Great to see the young people in church. It's wonderful. Just really, really wonderful. Praise the Lord. Wanted to thank you folks again for your prayers and support for so many years and your faithfulness to the Lord. Just been a real blessing again to reconnect with whoever we've met before, Mrs. Lundeen. And well, I forgot to mention in Sunday school, we stayed the night again at the Blakes, and we really appreciate that. I guess there wasn't anybody else, so we had to do it, so. That wasn't my words. That was Brother Doug over here. Yeah. He said, I guess there wasn't anybody else. So, but anyway, great to see you folks. And it was a real blessing to be there. And actually, amazingly, as a little testimony, really, I'm thankful. Since I've had COVID a couple times, and I've had breathing issues and different things, I haven't slept well. It changed my sleeping habits. I've always been a hard sleeper, and I can sleep anywhere at any time. But it's usually a 5-hour night, and I got 8 hours. That's like a miracle. So it's the Kansas air, the Kansas water, or something. I'm not sure what, but it's a real blessing to be here with you folks today, and hopefully you were able to be somewhat informed about what God is doing with us and how God has brought us to this place. Just really pray for us. Continue praying. I shared a little bit last night with a couple of the men. And just really praying that God will give us personally revival and as well to really to give the work revival. Because sometimes you go through waves and you've seen, you know, you've seen when we started out, of course, we didn't. Thankfully, ignorance truly is bliss. I mean, you really don't know what exactly is ahead in some ways. But, you know, I'm thankful that God then when extreme trials and tribulations come, that God pulls us through those things and we see the reality of not only what our personal faith, but we also see the reality of you know, God's strength and, you know, things that you thought, you know, if you would have known ahead of time, you may have shied away from. But God brings you through things, and we're thankful that we see His faithfulness. And we just, all we can do is try to be faithful to Him as well. Open your Bibles, please, to Luke, to the Gospel of Mark, please. The Gospel of Mark and chapter 14. You would, chapter 14. As we're turning, I did forget to mention a young couple. We had a young family in our church 4 years ago. In fact, they were on the video the day of their wedding and as well her baptism. And they actually got a green card. It was the first time we had anybody from our ministry that actually won a green card, which is, it's a lottery system. We don't play the lottery, but there are people who they pay like $300-$400, and they enter their names into this lottery system, where it's basically winning a sweepstakes to get an interview with a consulate officer and be able to potentially become citizens or move to the United States. And they did. They won that, and they are in Rochester, New York. They're in a church there, and as far as I understand, they're faithful, and we're hoping to see them at some point. But it was, of course, a real heartbreak for us. We had a young family in the church, and they moved to America. And it's really interesting. In Belarus, whenever we meet someone for the first time, even after all these many years, they are more used to seeing foreigners now. But when they find out that we live there, they're like, "Toza stavil sudapriyehats." It's like, "Who forced you to live here?" They can't fathom that you would. А что не лучше там? You know, what isn't it better there? Well, it's not about better or worse. You know, economically, yes, you have more opportunities, but in America. But of course, we have. You know, we personally, we live fine, we have good support, and you can live good in Belarus if you have finances. You know, there are a lot of rich people, but all that to say that we're not there for the good life. You know, you're there because of God's call in your life, and you explain all that to him. It's strömna, and it's like strange, very strange. but anyway, God's good, and shows us how to answer all the questions. Mark chapter 14, if you would. And let's begin here in verse number 3. And again, I do appreciate the opportunity to preach. I know it's not always maybe, but it's a blessing to me and I appreciate it. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, this he is Jesus. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Let's pray. Father, we're so blessed to be in church today, and we praise you for all that we have in Christ. We praise you for salvation. Thank you for the bond that we have, the union that we have not only with Christ, but with brothers and sisters in Christ. And that what we have in you, Lord, we pray that you would be glorified. May we worship you in the beauty of your holiness. May we give glory due to your name. I pray that you would just bless the preaching of your word. I pray that we would understand what happened in this passage and apply certain things to us. Lord, for your glory to grow. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, that has not come to you and been born again, that today would be the day that you would draw them to yourself, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts by your Spirit. We praise you for your word. We thank you that we have the freedom and ability to stand and sit in a place like this and worship you freely. We pray that you would minister to our hearts now this day. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So here we have a very familiar passage of Scripture. And maybe, you know, sometimes we get into familiar passages of Scripture and we say, well, I've heard that before. But, you know, Jesus said that a scribe that is instructed in the things of the kingdom of heaven, he's like a householder. And this we understand in Russian is like a hezyan. Hezyan is a person who is like a landowner or someone who is a manager of his affairs. And this householder, he brings forth out of his treasures both things new and old. Sometimes we want fresh new, you know, new thoughts and new things. But it's sometimes good to just go into the cellar and pull out the things that are already put in the cans there. You know, we see this in Belarus a lot, people are very hospitable, and sometimes they don't have a lot of money, so they'll run to the basement and get some jams out or get whatever they have and put it on bread, and they have to give you tea. You can't just go in and out without tea. So, and sometimes they'll say, wait, here, just serve 5 minutes. And of course, 5 minutes turns into a half hour. They have to run down to the store down the street and buy something new, because they have to give something to their guests. It's very common. And so we see sometimes as a preacher, a teacher, we bring things out that are maybe new, maybe somewhat new, at least new to us, things that we haven't, a new angle maybe on an old truth. But sometimes we just go into an old familiar passage and we dig out some really great gems, some nuggets for us to grow and to really be refreshed by. And Lord, today we see as the Lord was not long before his arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion, we see that he was in the house and here came a woman. And we, as far as we know, this is from John 12. We see that this is Mary of Bethany from parallel passages. And she becomes in this passage an example of extraordinary worship, love, and devotion to the Lord. She anointed the head, the feet, and the body of Christ. Most likely, and I don't know, you know, we can argue about the particulars, but most likely, she did not know or have the spiritual insight to foreknow what would happen to him. Maybe she did have an understanding. I'm not convinced of that. But whatever, she gave what she could to him, and she did what she could for him, and it was an act of love and worship to the Lord. The parallel of this precious ointment is a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I see in this that the most beautiful, most valuable thing that you and I have as Christians to give to God is something that has been given to us by God himself, our very lives. Many times, as I mentioned at the beginning, people will ask, why are you here? Why are you here in Belarus? And people may ask you, seeing whatever sacrifice and unusual devotion and love that you show to the Lord, people may wonder why you do what you do. And they'll say, why are you wasting your life? And we've actually had people say this to us. Why are you wasting your life here in Belarus? And I just want to say that, now, first of all, we have no martyr syndrome. I despise that idea. And I've never wanted to have the idea that we make some great sacrifice. We're spoiled, in fact. We're very blessed. We have good support. You know, we don't feel that we've sacrificed. The first time we've ever noticed that we feel that we're sacrificing is in the last 2 years. And that's over 25 years. And that is specifically with your children. We have a difficulty with her closest friends, even. We cannot let her go overnight somewhere. And I know that may sound strange, but when you have no one that has even basic controls of internet and video, music, all of those things, it's... And so in that, so I want to correct myself. I used to say no sacrifice. But there is a little bit, and that is specifically with your children. But we don't feel that we need to sacrifice our children for that. We must have a boundary. And so we just pray for wisdom, that God would always help us to be wise in that. But all that to say that here we have several things about Mary that I want to talk about in the way that her act, her coming to Christ and breaking this box of alabaster ointment on the feet and body of our Lord, and what that does to, what that speaks to us, and how that speaks to us in several ways. Haven't preached in English in a while, guys. Be patient. Она дала необычным образом. She gave in an unusual way. She gave in an unusual way. Her act of worship was extraordinary. When you love someone, your love is seen in the fact that there is an exclusiveness. If I got to know you folks, I'm sure we could have a very close, and even in a short time, we have a very close relationship because of Christ. But in life, we as men, I can enjoy and appreciate the sisters in the church, but there is one woman that I love supremely and exclusively, and that's my wife, and everybody knows that. Love is seen in the unusual, the extraordinary, in the exclusiveness. She came to Christ and gave far beyond what was normal to give. Now, what was normal? If you received a guest into your house, it was common to provide water to wash the feet of the guest. I don't know, for some reason the Blakes didn't do that, but to wash the feet of the guest. He did okay my shirt, though. He did okay my shirt. Inside joke, folks. It was common to provide water, to wash the feet of the guest, and to give maybe a small drop of ointment on the hands so that they could wash, they could put this ointment on their face, maybe their hands, and be refreshed. It was highly unusual, extremely unusual, to give so much, something so rare, something so expensive, and with such love and care, and then not to worry about what other people think. You know, it's normal for Christians to be nominal in your faith, in our faith. It's normal maybe for Christians to go to church a couple times a year, maybe several times a year, maybe once a month, maybe once a week. But as we see, we can do the minimum that is required to be thought of as a good Christian. It is highly abnormal to give it all to the Lord, to give our lives to Him. Love for Christ is demonstrated by unusual love, devotion, long-term faithfulness, and commitment. We who belong to the Lord have been bought with a price. Amen. The Bible says, we have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It comes down to a question of ownership. We who belong to the Lord have been bought with a price. So really, we shouldn't consider it some great sacrifice to give what we have back to Him, who we are, back to Him. In Romans 12, Paul calls it a reasonable service. Paul is our great example. He said that none of these things move me. When he was warned about going to Jerusalem, he said that everybody is telling me not to do this. But he said all those afflictions and all those trials, none of those things move me. And then he said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. How dear do we call and consider our lives? Is really our life that great that, you know, we can't give it back to Him? And then, of course, our ultimate example of giving in an unusual way, giving in a way that is totally extraordinary, our great example of that is Christ Himself. And the Lord gave Himself, leaving the glories of heaven. And though He was rich, He became poor. Amen? And so that we might become rich, and of course that's not talking about some prosperity gospel that He wants us to live high on the hog and have health, wealth, and all the great things. Sometimes we do suffer and go through tribulation. But the richness is in having that relationship with Him and having an eternity, an eternal destiny with Him. So we need to never lose sight of what we have in Him, because He did give Himself completely to us. Secondly, she didn't just give in an unusual way. She gave in spite of criticism. Her act of love to the Lord was criticized. We see this in the demonstration here of a critical spirit. In John chapter 12, we know who started this, actually. Do we know? John chapter 12 says that Judas first. He asks, why did you waste this? This should have been given to the poor. And in John 12, he tells us why, because he was the guy that carried the money in the bag. And he wanted part of it. And so he begins criticizing. And then others obviously add their voices to the criticism. Criticism here was initiated by the chief critic, Judas Iscariot. So obviously they chimed in. But they wouldn't have done that if there wouldn't have been a first voice. Criticism will always be part of life, a life lived by those who love Christ. As I said, people wonder, why would you do this? Okay, if this isn't the best thing for you economically, financially, you know, to build this life, to build this career everyone wants. And that's, many of those things are wonderful. We're not saying they're not. And if that's what God wants for you, praise God. I mean, we're not saying everybody needs to sell everything and run to the darkest jungles of Africa. I mean, God has a place for all of us. But the point is that we have, as disciples of Christ, that we have a willingness to take up the cross. And we have a willingness to give up whatever He would have us to give up. And I'm preaching to myself, we build a good life. And yet, are we willing to do whatever God wants us to do? Are we willing even to lower ourselves to teach English, if that's what it takes, right? I mean, who would have ever dreamed ex-Amish goes to foreign country and teaches business English to IT people? I mean, that's who I teach. I teach people at World of Tanks. You ever heard of World of Tanks? Wargaming? Wargaming, Fitbit, all the Fitbit people. They got bought out by Google, Lyft, L-Y-F-T, and other companies of very, very educated people, computer people. They're all smarter than me, but I know English much better than them. But we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to advance the cause of Christ and to promote the gospel. And so, to propagate the gospel. So, there may be some who criticize because they don't have the same values that you do, that we do. Criticism was initiated by people who had no right, who had no say in the matter, people who had no control. Whose alabaster box of ointment was it? It was Mary's. It wasn't theirs. It was hers. And if she wanted to give it all to the Lord, she had a right to do that. Amen? And if you want to give yourself completely to the Lord, that's your right. We praise God for that. Criticism sometimes kills the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have this beautiful, touching scene where she comes and does this amazing thing, and someone has to pour cold water on the matter. Boy, we praise God for some of the people that God has given us. Just wonderful, wonderful, close brethren and fellow believers in Belarus. So many people, because there are so few American missionaries now in Belarus, we've known in our short time, our time there, no longer short, but in our time there, we've known over 20 couples, American missionary, independent Baptist couples that came to Belarus and left for various reasons, some legitimate, some tragic, some just different things. And so our closest friends, our closest brethren, our Belarusian, normal Belarus, we don't ever call them nationals. They're just Belarusians. They're our brothers, they're our sisters in Christ. And we praise God for that. And in other sister churches, really, really good folks, and people that we can totally trust. I'm not saying we have no one that Catherine could be with. It's just, I'm saying, in our church area, we've gone through some turmoil and different things. But, you know, we praise God for people who love each other. And there's a unity because of Christ. Brother Sasha, who got saved many years ago already, and we prayed for him a long time. His wife had already been saved before she came to us. And he was a nachalnik, like a head man at one of the local factories, quality control engineer. And so God saved him. Wonderful, wonderful. And God has given us some really good, close brethren that we have very, very close fellowship with. And we praise God for that. And there is a unity. They understand, okay, we understand why you're here. We understand and we love each other. We build each other up. We try to not avoid, unnecessary criticism. Constructive criticism is good for all of us at times. But criticism that is a critical spirit can so quickly kill the heart, kill the spirit of a church. And so may God always give you a love and a unity and a joy of being together. When you get together, you know, this thing last night in Redfield, and you just enjoy being together. It's a great testimony to the spirit of the church that as far different as we are. And you know, the 12 disciples were extremely different. You had a zealot, you had a fisherman, you had a city slicker, Judas Iscariot. You had very, very different people. But because of Christ, they became like one unit. It's beautiful. Now, the third thing about Mary, and look again in the passage here. I'd like to go to the passage again in Mark chapter 14. And I want to look at the words of Christ here. In verse 6, the Bible says, "And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." In spite of criticism, she gave in an unusual way, and she gave in a way that touched Christ. Hey, you think of that. It meant a lot to him. You know, a lot of people can criticize you. And a lot of people can criticize us. Anyone who believes, if you live long enough in Christ, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. And at some point, you know, here in America, I think that, you know, good people, Christian people will be vilified, will be, you know, we don't know where things are going from here. It's a crazy world. Everything's upside down. We look at it from the outside and we just, you know, it seems like every time we come back to the States, it's like it's unrecognizable. It's, you think, you know, the death of common sense has come and gone. I mean, it's just unthinkable. But all that to say that people may criticize and people may at some point persecute in a literal way or a psychological way, extreme pressure from family, whatever. My parents went through that. When that happens, what really matters is what the Lord thinks of you. What really matters is that what you are doing, it touched the Lord. And he came to her defense. He said, "These big guys standing around, you're gonna criticize her." He said, "Let her alone. Don't touch her. Why trouble ye her?" And then he said, "You have the poor with you always." This argument that you should have sold this and given it to the poor, he said there was something better that she did with it. She prepared my body to the burial. And then look at verse number 8. She hath done what she could. Listen, if the Lord could say about us that this person has done what he could or what she could. Not everybody can stand up behind the pulpit. Not everybody can maybe teach. Not everybody can do something that is maybe more visible. Something in everyone, and in some ways you receive even glory and support and praise of men. But if you do what you can, let me tell you that the Lord notices. The Lord notices. There is a man in our church. He got saved some years ago. And he has some issues. He's like a walking encyclopedia, amazing information. But he has some issues. But he has a heart of gold. And in many, many years' time, after his salvation, after I baptized him, after he's been in the church, he has been such a blessing. And yes, he'll never preach. People don't respect him as someone who is, you know, some great Christian that, you know, can be praised. But he will do anything. He will drop anything and help you. He helped me work in the church building. I showed the video today. He helped me so much. I don't want any pay. And he has nothing. It's a heart of gold. You don't think the Lord notices that? Humanly speaking, it's a great joy when we are well received, when we're loved and we're spoken of in a good way. Who doesn't like that? Of course we do. And we appreciate and enjoy the blessing of other people. Even though we're not seeking their approval, maybe we are. But even though we aren't necessarily seeking someone's approval, it's a beautiful thing when someone's with you. That's a joy. But the praise of men is very fickle. Right, Chiefs fans? I am a diehard Chiefs fan. I guess we have that in common with some of you people. But heartbroken. But now, since COVID and the destruction of and all the politicization, I don't know how you say that, of sports and the BLM and all the crazy stuff that's going on, I've kind of gotten burned out on all of that, of course. But I was thrilled for the Chiefs. But, you know, in 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, maybe people will still remember Patrick Mahomes, the praise of men is fickle. I saw Michael Jordan and Shaquille O'Neal play in their last game in Chicago. I was way up in the rafters. I was like, you couldn't even see him with a telescope, basically. But all that to say, and I wouldn't go back. I had no idea it would be like a rock concert. But the praise of men is fickle. You're here today, gone tomorrow. Oh, it's fun. It's great. And we enjoy it. But listen, this lady did something over around 2,000 years ago. And it's still being preached about to this day. Today, as we sit here, Christ's prophecy about her has come true again. Look at this, verse number 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Chiefs fans, Cardinals fans, they're the two sports that I enjoy. You know, It goes, it's here now and it's enjoyable and it goes on. But what this lady did, she did what she could then. She caught the moment before his burial. You know, a lot of people have been to many funerals, even in Belarus, they do funerals completely different. But regardless of funerals, you know, you remember the person. You remember them. You speak of them. You remember the good, and generally you forget the bad. And you know, it's natural and it's wonderful to remember, especially if they were, you know, they're with the Lord. If you don't know, you kind of avoid the topic. But you do think about, you know, all the good things. And sometimes after someone dies, we start remembering and we wish we would have told that person, listen, I appreciate you. You know, I do. I just really appreciate, you know, what you've meant to our church or what you've meant to me personally or what you've meant in our family. And we remember after the fact and we say, man, but did we ever tell the person? Let's make sure to, on this side, to let someone know if they've meant something to us. She did it aforehand. She has come aforehand. Before the fact, before his death and his burial, she did this. But here she did something that became a great memorial. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. It is not important what position or prestige of men we enjoy in this kingdom, but that the King receives our best and all the glory. This lady could not travel with him constantly like the 12 disciples, but when she had the opportunity, she did what she could. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And in verse 17, the Bible says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We're not speaking about earning salvation. This is, as Christians, we go through our struggles, our sufferings, not in order to obtain. See, we in the Amish, we would talk about suffering a lot. And my dad went to a funeral not so long ago, and the preacher said, there were 500 plus people in the funeral. And the preacher said, I muss alles denken. You know, I have to just think, have we suffered enough to enter the kingdom of heaven? And you just think, and I've argued with our former bishop, and he said, we believe in faith in Christ alone. I said, but when you preach a funeral, what do? You talk about, we just hope he was good enough. Doesn't that say something? But the idea, we have to suffer. We have to suffer. We have to suffer in order to obtain. No, when I always tell my relatives, people I meet, and met one last summer, and I say, tell them, listen, we serve Christ not because we're hoping to obtain. It's not because of this terrible fear of if I don't, he'll throw me in hell. As Christians, we serve God with love. Look, people, we serve God differently than people who don't know the Lord. We should serve God because we love him. He deserves it. And so we don't seek to suffer because suffering gives us some kind of special entrance into heaven. I've had many Catholics and Orthodox people that I've talked to in Belarus and say, oh, biedny Jesus, the poor. It's like, I so pity Jesus. He got, you know, they did these terrible things to him. And, you know, and I say, but he came knowing that he would die. He had to. He had to fulfill the counsel of God in that. I mean, he came knowing it was, yes, humans did it to him, but he did it. He was born to die. And he did suffer. He'd suffered terribly, but he did it knowing that he had to redeem man and pay the last sacrifice for sin. Going back to the verse here, the Bible says here, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Do you remember Moses? In Hebrews 11, it says that he by faith, Moses, he rejected being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He decided to be identified with the children of God. the children of Israel. He decided to bear the afflictions of his people and to reject the pleasures of sin for a season. And then it says that he lived as though seeing him who is invisible. Amen? That's the unseen hand, the unseen behind the scene. And here we see the same thing. Here we see, we look not at the things which are seen. Oh yes, 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad. Do you remember that song, kids' song? Dvoye tak. Yeah, we sing it in Russian too. My wife does with the little kids. Deset zvot I dva takih. So you have 10 men. They looked on what they saw. They looked at what could be seen. And they said, it's too great for us. And 2 men said by faith, no, God can bring us in. This is chump change for him. I mean, really? Not a big problem. But that's because they saw, not they were looking at not things that could be seen, but at things that were not seen. God's promises. God's presence. Listen, it means something. It's not just words. And these things are invisible, but they're eternal. They're possible for the person who lives by faith. So we continue in this verse. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then open, if you would, to Malachi chapter 3, quickly. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Brother Blake told me this morning, he didn't know I was preaching, I guess. He said, I won't get out till noon, so. He said, our pastor, he likes to take his time. All right. Preacher, I didn't mean to open that up for you, but. I thought, oh, 50 minutes. I got 50 minutes. Okay, there we go. So we'll finish soon. Malachi chapter 3. I hope I'm not taking liberties here. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 13. The Bible says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, now this is the Lord speaking of the children of Israel. And I know it's Old Testament, but this is demonstrating the New Testament principle as well. Saying, yet you say, he said, yet ye have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Listen, if we think of ourselves as walking mournfully, this cross is so heavy and it's so horrible. And listen, we ought to consider it a privilege to serve the Lord. But this is how they were looking at it. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work iniquity, work wickedness, are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And they're saying these things. They're saying it's empty to serve God. You look at the Psalm 73 in Asaph. It's empty. It's worthless. It's better to just live for yourself. But God said, you spoke stout words against me. And then look at what they say, verse 16. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Look, folks, it's important to speak often one to another. It's important for folks in the church to be together often, Christians to be together often. You take a campfire and you throw all the burning sticks apart. A few minutes, they'll all die out. But if you keep them together, they'll burn nice and good. They spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, my precious things, my драгоценности. Драгоценности in Russian is like these precious things. These jewels, these things that are mine. The Lord says, these are mine. And I will fear, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Listen, there's a book of remembrance being written. And the book of remembrance included the lady in Mark chapter 14. Jesus said, she has done what she could. Folks, have we done? Are we doing what we can? Are we, how do we look at what we do for the Lord? Do we see it as some great sacrifice? Or do we, with joy, carry out what God has given us in a way that we can say, it's all His anyway? If I have great liberty or no liberty, God can put His children in a place that has more freedom and a lot more bugs, like Nigeria, right? My wife, when she was 16, she could give her testimony. She was at a missions conference, and the preacher said, you just need to be willing to be a missionary. And she was just sure, if I surrender to the Lord to be a missionary, I'll be in Africa. You know, I'll go to Africa. And the Lord never called us to Africa. There's no snakes, no bugs. I mean, Belarus is pretty clean. It's pretty amazing. But there are a lot of KGB and other difficulties. So every place has its positives and negatives. All that to say that God has a right to send you to one place or another. God has a right to send you to a hot country like Cambodia, or a much nicer country like Belarus, and our brothers in Cambodia. And so the main thing is to be faithful to Him wherever we're at. God wants you here, praise God, but be faithful to Him. If God wants you to speak to someone, maybe there's someone you need to get right with. Sometimes, you know, we say, you know, the hardest people to witness to is who? We say it, and we indict ourselves. We say the hardest people to witness to is our own family. And we indict ourselves because they know us. Listen, yeah, they know us, but they should have seen a change in us when we came to Christ. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be something that says this person has something I don't have. So we do, we indict ourselves when we say, well, the hardest people to reach. Now, the truth is, that is true, because even Jesus said that, you know, about the honor and the prophet in his own country. I don't remember exactly how it says it in English, but in your own country, it's natural. It's like, I've known you since you were David. You know, I know you when you were 5 years old. But, you know, as you grow and the Lord changes you, hey, maybe your sacrifice would be to humble yourself and to make something right in a way that would then open the door to sharing the gospel with someone. You know, we all know that there are things that we could do practically in a way to humble ourselves and to really see revival in our hearts and lives. But are we willing to do it? Will we break the most precious things to us and give it to the Lord? I don't know how, preacher, you usually end the service, but I'll just go ahead and pray. Let's stand to our feet, please. God deserves, folks, God deserves our best, and not only the things that we can spare. He deserves our best and not our leftovers. What are our priorities? Do we have eternal values? Is service for the Lord a joy and a privilege? Father, I praise you and I thank you for your word. God, how we see that you open up truth to our hearts, our minds. And we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God.